Good evening. This is a regular session of the Rome Common Council. The date is April 10th, and the time is 7 p.m. Mr. Staley, please call the roll.
Councilor Sprace.
Present.
Councilor Mortis.
He's excused.
Councilor Fazio.
Present.
Councilor Smith.
Here.
Councilor Anderson.
Present.
Councilor Dersey.
Present.
Councilor Sperelia.
Present.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. The invocation will be offered by Councilor Sprace. Lord, please give us guidance in this meeting and let us not be misguided so that we do not lead to decisions that produce ineffective results. Amen. The meeting is now open to the public. You have the opportunity to appear before the council and present your views concerning city affairs. If you wish to speak, please step up to the back microphone, state your name and your address, and limit yourself to 5 minutes. Also, please sign on the speaker sheet, as this helps with our record. We are ready for our first speaker.
Good evening, everyone, councilors. My name is Randy Redman. I reside at 220 Urbandale Parkway. I just came to talk today about two items. One is the shirt I'm wearing. I don't know if the councilors or the mayor of Rome had anything to do with what's going on in Utica about the hockey games, but it's great for our community. So I want to commend everybody for that happening. Second thing, I just wanted to also thank the new board members and the community. I'm also, the manager at Urbandale Park Condominiums, 108 units, and we're very happy at what we're seeing. I've lived there 30 years, and I've never seen what we're seeing today, so thank you.
Ready for our next speaker?
Dennis Perfetti, 506 West Thomas Street. Little cleanup on aisle 4 from last week. I went home, or not home, but back to the store to conclude the night and turned on the YouTube feed and heard a counselor say that the mayor was not transparent. Not transparent. It's the first mayor that's ever been to a council meeting who laid out the ARPA money dollar for dollar. I think that's pretty transparent. I also heard the same counselor tell those young adults that maybe they should raise some of the money on their own. Well, I'm here to tell you, I think those kids did a hell of a job of raising a lot of money on their own and went into their own pockets. The same counselor was here last year when we had the other mayor, and after the mayor promised the hospital $3 million, she dropped it into council's lap 3 hours before the meeting took place. So if we're talking about transparency, the only one who was never transparent is Mayor Izzo. Mayor Lanigan shows up every place. To the fire department, you guys did a hell of a job the other day. You did. When you got to tear the front of a house off to put the fire out, you were there from, I got there at 8:45. And you didn't leave until 6:30, 7 o'clock. Hell of a job they did. DPW, same thing. House was down in a matter of an hour. But getting back to the other thing, this skate park's a great idea. And us supporting that financially isn't a bad one with the ARPA money. But telling those kids that was so disheartening. I mean, there's a lot of small businesses and a lot of people who got together to put this project and move it forward. And then to hear them, I'm not even going to go on. I'll just be repeating myself. It's crazy.
Ready for our next speaker.
David Halpin, 204 and a half Elm Street. And I'd like to
Congratulate all the councils here for doing a fine job. And let me tell you why I think you're doing a good job. It's been a long time since I've been to a council meeting. And as soon as I walked off the elevator, what did I see? I seen all the pictures of the past mayors that we've been talking about for 6-7 years are back up. And I think that's a wonderful job. So I want to commend the administration and all the councilors and anybody else that had their hands into this to get that done. Because as I said, I haven't been to a council meeting in quite a while, and I apologize for that. I try to get to them, but I do have other meetings going on. It's awful nice, too, to see quite a few people in the attendance tonight. And I think that's wonderful, and I'm sure they have a lot of different observations about what I want to talk to next, which is going to be about the amphitheater. I am 100% for the amphitheater. But of course, I'm a novice at this, and I have certain reservations. I have questions because I don't know all the facts. I don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes, but I do have questions, and I'm sure as everybody else does. And I have a lot of questions in regards to this, and I'm sure a lot of them are minor, but that I want to bring them up just to make sure that maybe I'm on the same page. My first question is, are we buying the land? Is the corporation buying the land? Are they also buying part of Fort Bull? Are they also buying part of the old village? Because, I mean, I know the village is in disarray. And I see somebody's hand just go up over here. And I'm just concerned. I don't know what's going on with the village itself, okay? I don't know if the land's up for sale and they're going to be purchasing it. But then my second question is, Rome Historical Society. Now that was a big issue several years ago about doing any digging up in that area. Now I don't know how the Rome Historical Society feels about doing digging, because I know they've always talked about having artifacts up there, and is there going to be a lot of digging going on up there? So that was part of one of my questions. Second question is, they're talking about having 5,000 seating capacity. 5,000, that's a lot. Now, again, I'm for the amphitheater 100%, but my question is, do we have enough space for, let's say, 1,500 to 2,000 cars? Have we done any surveys as far as for the parking up there? Have we done any traffic surveys? Have they done any traffic surveys? Have we talked to codes? Have we talked to zoning department? Have we done any site reviews on that area through the city? Now, I know that the city is going to help out in aspects of that nature, as far as maybe some guidance and some administrative wear-all. But as long as the city is not getting involved as far as the cost factors go, because of the fact that's going to be expensive, and I don't think the city should be taking money away from the taxpayers to do that kind of program. Next thing I have a question is, has the developers ever done this kind of program before? Is it up and running? Where is it? I mean, what kind of experience do they have in that? And that's just part of it. Another question I have is the weather. Now, we all know we have rain. Now, if it's a uncovered amphitheater, what happens when we have rain? Maybe is some of it going to be covered for the participants as far as the musicians go, or whatever it's going to be? And what about like the weather from, let's say, from November right up until April when we have rain? Can we compete with like the Stanley, the casino that puts on a lot of venues in Syracuse, the Capitol Theater? Are we going to be able to compete with those venues? How about the maintenance and upkeep of that? Let's talk about the building maintenance, which will be astronomical too, I'm sure. Let's talk about lighting, parking, the paving, just basic operational ground maintenance as far as the mowing of the lawns and taking care of the picnic tables that I see in the pictures that they have. You know, little things like that. I mean, my question is, the city, since this is going to be a private enterprise, the city should not bear a lot of the responsibility or cost associated with this, because of the fact that's taken away from the other parks and recreations that we have, and there's only limited funds and the availability of money. For example, the skate park, which is a great idea. But the city is going to bear some of that responsibility too, as far as the maintenance goes. And I applaud the kids who are raising a lot of funds for that. I think they're doing one heck of a job. And at first I was a little bit reluctant about it, but I think it's going to be a great avenue for the kids down in that area to bring in more tourists in that area. And I think that'll help. The same thing with the amphitheater.
Mr. Halpin, please wrap it up.
Okay. And I think the same thing for the amphitheater. I think it's a great idea going down in there, because it's going to expand that area for potential businesses and growth. And I look forward to working with anybody who wants to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ready for our next speaker?
Rocco Capone, 5th Ward. I'm just speaking on a couple comments on the amphitheater here. Number one, it's privately owned currently right now from a party out in California. The Historical Society has their own part, which is Fort Bull and Fort Wood Creek, which is owned and operated, protected by them. Number two is 5,000 people is not a lot. The people that are dealing with this project, number one, are local, which always is a plus. Number two, are complete professionals with their resume speaking themselves, where those resumes were forwarded to the administration, which will ultimately be forwarded to the council on our next meeting coming up. The next thing is if anybody wants to take a tour of what it currently looks like right now, I'd be more than willing to, because I got the keys. Let's go. Because that place right now, I got the pictures on my phone. I could pass my phone around if everybody wants to look. These buildings are down, okay? It's been neglected and rotted for 30 years from local leaders, state officials, county officials. And again, this is private land, so there's plenty of blame to put around this. Every administration since it was incorporated, the deeds and all that was incorporated. The fact of the matter is nobody thought of this. Nobody brought all this up until somebody wanted to buy private land and develop it on behalf of the people of Rome, making it an all-around experiences. What everybody keeps understanding, and they're not looking into it, and we keep saying to wait for the official presentation, is it's a three-phase project. Phase one is just the amphitheater. The other phases include educational and historic stuff for children. There's potential with rail carts up there. Okay, there's a tavern that can be saved, but you have to understand that these buildings have not been touched. 2018, when they rezoned it, made it virtually impossible to do any kind of progression up there in a positive manner. Okay, this is to the amphitheater was originally going at Bellamy Harbor. Bellamy Harbor, the Canal Corporation owns the part where we wanted to do it, and you can't build a permanent structure on it, is what people were told. Erie Canal Village was led to us by the Chief of Staff, Kim Rogers. That was a place that we were told, if Bellamy Harbor doesn't look out and you guys can get to Erie Canal Village and handle the Rick Rios situation, the city can step in and help from different angles. So anybody in their right mind would look at that property, any developer, anybody, and they would look the other way with the way this process has gone from a citizen's perspective of it, okay? It is the most unprofessional, egotistical disgrace that this is how we do business. Those buildings come with the property, but there's nothing, if you look at them, the Shul House, which is supposed to be the most important one on the property, blew down in the last big storm about a month ago. Proper officials were notified from every agency to go assess the situation to see if it could be cleaned up. Guess how many people have been up there? Zero. So if we truly care about a facility and the grounds of this facility, why has it been neglected for so long? And when you say the case of Mother Nature letting it take its course, does that mean just letting these buildings that are currently in piles, not able to take out this hazardous materials? It looks like a dump yard up there. So is that what we want it to look like? Again, a group wants to come in and revitalize something that has nothing to do with the historical part of it. Okay? And they have done studies. Actually, they were approved for the first amphitheater there in 1976, I believe. I might be wrong, but you could ask the Historical Society. It was around that time, which means they did surveys and stuff at that time and approved that it was okay. Then again, they do with the amphitheater, the whole process of this is to the point where you have to look in and do your own research. It's right there in front of you. Nobody wants to do anything with it. And we're going to push out a group that wants it. There's plenty of opportunities for people to speak their opinions. Everybody thinks and knows what they want for Rome or what Rome needs, but nobody has solutions or proposed plans. What other group or what other person in the city is trying to create something exciting to this extent? Beneficial to multi-family purpose facility. And it's privately funded, okay, which means they are going to pay taxes, which the city's going to make revenue off of that, which are all positives. There's been engineer studies currently in progress. They have retained an archaeologist.
Mr. Bacall,
they have volunteered to work with SHPO and the Historical Society through the digging.
Ended. Please wrap it up. Thank you.
All I will say is with this. In order for Rome to have more, we need to be a little more mature with the process of handling business here. Put the egos aside. Put the differences aside. You're going to have to work with people you don't want to have to work with. Okay, it's not about a couple of people. There's 32,000 people in this city that are entitled to everything. We as the city deserve that. We are entitled to have that provided to us. And on the financial part of it, okay, we have, just saying out in general, there's over $17 million in the reserve fund, which is $10 million over. Are we getting tax breaks for that?
Your time has ended. Thank you. Ready for our next speaker?
Hi, my name is Janet Livingston, 119 Parkway, and I'm going to just change it up a little bit. My concern is making adjustment to the FEMA program. If I understand correctly, the amount that was sent was $1,119,268. The current amount that they want for projects is $940,000, and they want to amend it to $1,753,000 by adding on an additional project. But what they don't list is the Pinty Field, the Bocce Court, the fishing pier, and the parking lot. The overage right now would be $634,000. Where is that money going to come from? Are we going to be responsible for that? Can we make changes to the FEMA money that has been provided with the documentation that was submitted? My second concern is last week or the prior meeting, they had touched base on mental illness, and the skate park is going to be one of the things to help in this area. But we also have other parks in this area at different parts of the town that need some repair or just need some attention. I printed out a couple of them. They're already in for the projects, the capital improvement projects. Pinty Field is obviously one of them, Kennedy Arena, Geyer Field, Hazleton. If we want to help with mental health, I hope we can go in all areas of the city and not just in one area. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Ready for our next speaker?
Hi. Jacob Fleming, 307 West Linden. However, I'm here tonight representing Rome Historical Society as our board president. I just want to take an opportunity to address the council and the public regarding our position on the proposed amphitheater. The Rome Historical Society does not take a stance for or against the nature of any private land development projects. The only interest RHS takes in any event is the preservation and care of historical lands. The prospective buyers of the former Erie Canal Village have committed publicly to upholding and cooperating with State Historic Preservation Office guidelines, the City of Rome codes, and the deed restrictions pertinent to archaeological preservation at that site, which is all RHS could or would ask of any historical landowner. Thank you for the opportunity to clarify that.
Thank you. Ready for our next speaker? Anyone else wishing to speak?
Arthur Simmons, 105 Francis Street. You know, I wasn't going to speak tonight. I kind of wanted to, you know, see, learn more about the amphitheater. I was hoping to hear more, actually. It should come as no surprise to any of you that I'm standing up here, because I've been standing here for over 10 years about things at the Erie Canal Village, the property, the importance of the property, the conditions of the buildings, the damage to cultural resources, and nothing has been done. The public will forever have an interest in that property because of the state legislation that put the reversionary interest into the city's hands. When is the city going to revert on that property? We all know it has not been open and it has not met those requirements placed in the deed. The Erie Canal Village is owned by Crossroads Redemption Church. They cannot just sell that property without Attorney General approval, in case any of you didn't know that. Recently, you rezoned the area. Special zoning, Erie Canal Heritage District. And here we are talking about this. Why? Read the language in your zoning. It's all there. This has to stop. This is our history. This is our heritage. Please do something. And if this, once the city gains control of this property and it wants to sell it, wants to put it up for auction, wants to retain it, then that's great. But why you have not enforced the reverter is beyond comprehension. That's all I have to say for now.
Next speaker.
Was I on the agenda?
This is a public portion. You can get up at any time. Yes, you can. You can speak at any time.
Okay. I prefer to speak from here.
We would need you to go back up to the mic so then we're able to hear you, plus it's being videotaped, so take your time.
We're good.
Okay, folks, everybody's here to talk about the amphitheater. My name is Jerry Stucci. I am the CEO of JGK Associates and a member of the group that is looking to place the amphitheater here in Rome. Real quickly on my background, I'm not unfamiliar with Rome. I was born here. Taught in the Rome City School District, was a casualty of layoffs when the base closed. Have been significantly involved in nightlife here in Rome, a nightclub business with talent being brought in and also with DJing and such. So I'm a little familiar with the landscape. This idea for the amphitheater was actually an idea we had pre-COVID. It was 2019 or so when we hatched the idea. And then after COVID, you know, we started looking at it and said, look at these amphitheaters. They're popping up all over the place. We were ahead of a curve. You know, these are community revitalizers, and it has been all throughout the country. There is a litany of them right here in New York State, Bethel Woods. Syracuse, Canandaigua. All of these communities have benefited substantially from the induction of the amphitheaters. So I think in general, the model is proven. Now, if it can be worked here in Rome, New York, given all of the restrictions, I understand. You know, we're sensitive to history. I'm a history teacher. I have no desire whatsoever to run roughshod over a property and relegate it to a state that doesn't resemble what it was. That's not what we're interested in doing. You have to allow for the fact, though, that this property has not been cared for over the years. I mean, we could sit here and we can go back and forth, but if you go up there and you're going to ask yourself the question, is the status quo good enough to represent the heritage of Rome, New York? Is it? Is the status quo good enough? Take a look at Shaw House. See what that looks like right now. Is the status quo good enough? Okay, I don't think it is. And I'm not laying any blame anywhere. It's years of neglect, many administrations, different owners, chains of custody, all of those things. I understand that. Okay, but here we're offering a vision. A vision that says, hey, that's a historical space that actually can be credited with launching New York on its way to become the Empire State with the induction of the Erie Canal, which the anniversary is coming up next year, okay? It would be an unbelievable story to have a rebirth of recreational activities in Rome right there at that site. That would be a really nice juxtaposition, okay? Now, there are 216 acres on the site, not all of which are historic in nature. Of those 216 acres, I'm pretty sure we can find some place to put this amphitheater that's not going to disturb archaeological digs and such. Okay, we're sensitive to that. We have an archaeologist on our team. We know what this takes. We know it's a heavy lift. To Mr. Halpin's questions about the studies, we plan on doing the studies, but I can't buy property, okay, and then hope that I'll get the approvals later. Doesn't work that way. We're here to present to you because we need to know that if we decide to move forward responsibly, working with the Rome Historical Society, it's an absolute must in my plan, working with the Historical Society hand in hand, working with the Common Council, working with the mayor's office to make sure that we're doling out not just a great project, but good public policy. See, good public policy requires that your end result is better than the status quo. And I ask you, is the status quo good enough? I've already asked that once. I'm going to ask it again. Is the economic development in Rome going through the roof? Are there people driving here to spend money here because there's something to spend it on besides a dollar store and car washes? Folks, I'm not trying to compare towns or anything else, but 15 miles from here, the World Women's Hockey Championships are being decided because a gentleman came in and had a vision. He said, we can bring hockey back here. This can be a hockey mecca. We can take this auditorium and turn it into the Adirondack Bank Center and make it what it should be, a beacon for the game of hockey. Let's add the Nexus Center to it. Let's have four sheets of ice, which was an idea that was here in Rome for a long time. People wanted to add sheets of ice here in Rome. I was always for it. I thought it was a great thing. Never materialized. That's the first time I heard it was here in Rome. 15 minutes away. There it is.
Mr. Stucci, I will extend you 3 more minutes because you are talking about the project that I think a lot of people are interested in. So I will extend you 3 minutes from now.
Thank you very much. Again, we want to be able to develop this property responsibly, and we want to bring tax dollars to Rome in the form of revenue that helps everybody, including the Historical Society. We've also proposed that we want to have a surcharge to the tickets there, a $3 surcharge that can go back to the city or the Historical Society or whatever entities you want it to go to, okay? We understand that we have to be good citizens and stewards of this property, and that means contributing as well. What we're asking you for is the right of way to go forward, to continue the progress, to see if this is the right project for this time and this place. And if it is, and all the right parties agree, then we shall move forward with private investment, but we're also going to look to some public investment, not necessarily from you all, but there's a CFA out there with New York State for tourism development. You can bet I'm applying for that money. There's New York Forward. We hope that the city would apply for that money and we could be part of that. Okay, because that could be a bigger boom for Rome than just us. We hope another DRI initiative that we can be part of. We hope that we can anchor a DRI initiative so we can make it more likely that those dollars would come here because our private investment could be leveraged for additional public money from New York State. NISCA money, New York State Council on the Arts. It would give a reason to bring some of that money here. We could work with the Capitol Theater to do those things. All of those things are on the table. But if you don't build it, you don't let me build it, none of those things are on the table. That's really all I have to say. I didn't need the 3 minutes.
Thank you. Now, let me ask you a quick question. Have you set up a council work session at all with Mr. Nash?
The 24th of this month.
We're set for the next one. Okay. Sounds good. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you so much.
I believe it was 5:30.
I'm not sure. I'll talk to President Nash. So... That will be publicized once it is set and
be in attendance. Absolutely. And just before I close, I do have some people here in support of me tonight, but there's a reason you're here beyond that, because I know I need experts. Okay. I am a developer. I'm a social studies teacher. I'm a grant writer, and I'm very good at dealing with public policy. What I'm not absolutely great at is building. So Buck Construction is going to be our partner on the build-out. Not here right now, but Buck's our partner. I have Mr. Joe Cucciarelli here, former Utica police officer. He's going to head up my security. I have Antonio Napoli over here, a renowned promoter. Handles many acts nationally. Tony drove in from Long Island tonight to be here to support this project. I have Gina Scampone from the event company. She runs the Utica New Year's Eve party and several other things. Very successful event coordinator right here. I have Gene Boudou, I've worked with for years. We brought bands in, never really had a lot of problems and had a whole lot of fun and drove a lot of money into this economy. I have Tim Haynes right here, who is also going to be part of the security team. So, and there are many others. There are many others that you'll meet along the way if we get to go down this road. But that's it for now. Thank you for having us and thank you for the time.
Thank you. We are ready for our next speaker. Anyone else wishing to speak? The public portion of the meeting is now closed. The chair will entertain a motion that the reading of the minutes of the preceding session be dispensed with and that they would be approved.
So moved.
Moved by Councillor Smith.
Second.
Seconded by Councillor Spraglia. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Presentation of petitions and communications. Communications?
The following businesses have notified the city clerk's office of intent to obtain liquor licenses. Walteri Restaurants Incorporated of 407 East Dominic Street, Hampton Inn of 1352 Floyd Ave. The Department of Public Works report of training, conferences, and travel for quarter ended 3/31/24 is on file in the city clerk's office.
Report of city officials. Report of councilors. Councilors Spraglia.
President Pro Tem Spirace and fellow councilors, I would like to speak to Ms. Livingston's comments regarding the parks. I'm not sure if you're aware, but there is a $200,000 amount that is being budgeted to upgrade the parks master plan, which hasn't been done in probably 15 years or so. I'm also the chairman of the Parks, Recreation, and Youth Activities Committee, and I have already spoken with Ryan Hickey, and Councillor Smith and I have already toured Kennedy Arena with him. Our plan is to tour every single park in the city and go over and list what we think we're gonna need. But again, I do want you to know that there is a company that's coming in to do a master plan for us. They'll probably find a lot more than we will with our human eyes. But that is a priority of Mayor Lanigan to improve our park system. And hopefully that will help the mental health situation also in the city. And also I could speak to the FEMA plan, but actually Garrett is here, I believe. I believe what your questions were are included in the master plan about the bocce court, fishing pier, parking lot, also the pavilion. Garrett, would you like to speak to that? All right, you're welcome.
Thanks, Garrett.
Garrett Wyckoff, I'm a planner with Community and Economic Development here at the city. With regards to the FEMA money, I can speak to that. All of the funding for the projects that are on the agenda tonight is being funded through either New York State or the federal government. There's no local match involved in the project. This particular grant is all related to the damages that were suffered after Tropical Storm Fred back in 2021. And the scope for these projects is specifically based on the damage that was identified from that storm. There's a separate grant that's currently, and separate work that's currently been undertaken with regards to updates for Pinty Field. And Pinty Field itself is not on here because it is considered a large project by FEMA, which means it has a separate capital account and separate budgeting that goes into it. These projects here are specifically all of those that individually were under $1 million, which is what FEMA considers a small project because they're the federal government, I guess. Hopefully that answers your question. The Griesick Field splash pan was not one of the projects that was damaged during the tropical storm. I think that's part of the Parks Master Plan or perhaps the Pinty Field project. That's not, I'm specifically on the damage from Tropical Storm, so I can't speak to that particular project.
Thank you, Mr. Wyckoff. Councilor Fogg.
I would just, since we have so many people here, and I would just like to remind everybody that on April the 20th, Saturday, is cleanup day for the city. And if you would like to help out in your neighborhood or any place that you want to pick to help clean up, you can come to City Hall here at 9 a.m. and pick up the cleanup kits. And we would appreciate any help that anyone can give us. Thank you.
Councilor Dursey.
President Pro Tem Spirace, members of the council. I just want to say thank you to everybody that spoke today and everybody that came here speaking about and supporting the amphitheater and people that are concerned with the historic sites. My place as a history teacher also is to take care of all historic sites. To understand the importance of history in Rome is near and dear to, I think, all of our hearts. That's why this is such a hot button issue, if you will. But I'm not going to speak for all the counselors, but I do believe that, that we are here to listen and learn and do the best for the city of Rome. And hopefully that will be the best for everybody else, because that's all we can do right now is what we hear and what's the best for Rome. But I thank both sides coming out, and I look forward to listening to what you have to say. And I have listened to other points of view on this topic. And I know, just as a final side note, change positions a little bit, change point here. The splash pads and all that fun stuff are part of we're looking forward to revamping the park service, and that'll be in the master plan. Is that right?
Yes.
Report of committees. Onward to resolutions. Resolution number 55.
Resolution determining that action to undertake certain projects will not have a significant effect on the environment.
Move it. Councillor Anderson.
Second.
Councillor Dursey. Resolution number 55 has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Councillor Anderson.
Yes, thank you, President Pro Temp Spirace. I just wanted to explain that resolution 55 and then ordinance 9687 are regarding purchasing of equipment that the council has approved in the capital improvement project plan, I should say. And this is just the formal steps that we go through in terms of the environment and things like that in order so that we can do the purchases. So the title doesn't give you all that detail. I just wanted the public to know that's what it's all about. Thank you.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of resolution number 55 say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Resolution number 55 is carried. Resolution number 56.
Authorizing the mayor to amend the existing capital project account for the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, Disaster Recovery Public Assistance Funds related to disaster 4625 remnants of Tropical Storm Fred declared on October 8, 2021.
Move it. Moved by Councillor Anderson.
Second.
By Councillor Spraglia. Resolution number 56 has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of resolution number 56 say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Resolution 56 has been carried. Ordinance number 9686.
Authorizing the temporary rebate increase to the sidewalk rebate program for the 2024 calendar year.
Move it.
Moved by Councillor Dursey.
Second.
By Councillor Anderson. Unanimous consent?
Yes.
Seconded by
yes
by Councillor Fazio. Ordinance number 9686 has been moved and seconded. Unanimous consent has been moved and seconded. All those in favor of unanimous consent say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Unanimous consent is carried. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of ordinance number 9686 say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Ordinance number 9686 is carried. Ordinance number 9687.
Authorizing the issuance of not to exceed $1,310,000 bonds of the City of Rome, Oneida County, New York to finance the cost of the purchase of machinery and apparatus for construction and maintenance.
Move it. Councillor Anderson.
Second.
Councillor Spraglia.
Unanimous consent.
Councillor Dursey.
Second.
Councillor Spraglia. Ordinance number 9687 has been moved and seconded. Unanimous consent has been moved and seconded. All those in favor of unanimous consent say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Unanimous consent is carried. Is there any discussion? All those in favor of ordinance number 9687 say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Ordinance number 9687 is carried. The chair will tenant or a kind of a motion to be adjourned.
So moved.
Moved by Councilor Smith.
Second.
Seconded by Councilor Spraglia.